talking about giants in the land, you know I'm not talking about the New York Giants, right? At any rate, giants in the land have been a problem in biblical culture from the beginning of time. It was giants that were 9 feet tall. It was giants that were kept the Israelites out of the promised land. It was giants that actually gave David a hard time, but he took care of that too. But now we've got a problem with giants. See, all those giants are gone, but there's still giants in the land. Now, how can that be? Well, as we talk about it, you'll see, because we all have our own giants. And sometimes they're bigger than the Word of God, unfortunately. But as we get into this, Tim, would you put the first scripture up? Spying out the land. Spying out the land took the promise that God had given to Moses to go into the promised land, to spy it out for 40 days, and to find out what kind of land it was, what kind of vegetation, what kind of people. So he sent 12 men, from each tribe, into that land. 40 days later, they came back out. Tim? They gave Moses this account. We went into the land to which you sent us, and it does flow with milk and honey. Here is the fruit. But the people who live there are powerful, and the cities are fortified and very large. We even saw descendants of Anak there. Anak was part of the Nephilim, Raphaim, a couple of other names, but they're all giants. And they saw these people that were there. And Tim, the next scripture. The people are in disarray, listening to these 10 guys coming back. Then Caleb silenced the people before Moses and said, "We should go up and take possession of the land, for we can certainly do it." But the men who had gone up with him said, "We can't attack these people. They are stronger than we are." Oh, here comes the best part. They're descendants of the Nephilim and Anak, and that's who came from the Nephilim. I said they're all giants. "We seemed like grasshoppers in our own eyes." That was true. "And we looked the same to them." Not true. It's terrible when we start assuming things. In fact, when we start assuming things, the problem we're in gets so much bigger than the problem that it actually is, that all of a sudden it's a giant in our life. That's what happened here. So if you would put up, by the way, that was a lie. How could they assume what these people were thinking? I'm going to tell you what these people were thinking in Scripture. Joshua 2:8-9. This is when the spies were going to Jericho. And they're being held ahead by who? "Before the spies lay down for the night, she went up on the roof and said to them, 'I know that the Lord has given you this land and that a great fear of you has fallen on us, so that all who live in this country are melting in fear because of you.'" Now, that was the truth. When the 12 spies went into the land and they found out who they were and recognizing these strangers, they were listening to people. And the people were talking about this group that was outside of their country, that was on their borders, and they were terrified of it. They heard what God had done, opening up the Red Sea, defeating army after army, and now they're on the borders. But the people didn't believe that. The people believed the lie. That's where we come in many instances. Do you ever believe the lie? Ever believe what Satan is saying in your heart, in your mind, right up here where it becomes a universe, and you start listening to it? "I can't do this because of one reason or another." And all of a sudden, fear comes in. Of course, God in 1 Timothy says, we did not inherit a spirit of fear, but of truth, power, and understanding, and sound mind. But put that aside. Because when we start fearing, we always put Scripture aside. You can't have Scripture and fear at the same time. You can't have cold, hot water coming out of the same faucet at the same time. What comes out when you mix the two together? Lukewarm, right? That's how we become. When we start looking at the lies, Satan has, we become lukewarm. And of course, we understand what God said in Revelation chapter 3. He spews that out of his mouth. He has no use for us when we can't call upon his name and say, I stand on his name. Now, there were two that did stand on their name, Joshua and Caleb. They were true to God's word. They were true to the promise. But nevertheless, that was chapter 13. In chapter 14, you got a whole bunch of things happening here. The people rebelled. They believed the 10 spies instead of Joshua and Caleb. That was number one. God brought them into a position that says, for 40 days I sent you into the land. For 40 years you will walk in the desert. That's number two. And number three, what happened to those 10 spies? Anyone know? You got to read chapter 14 in Numbers. Those 10 spies all died of a plague because they went against God's word. Well, that's in days. You say, well, we're under grace today. We don't have to worry about plague striking us. No, but you have to worry about spiritual death striking you. If you don't follow God's word, there is a definite chance you could die a spiritual death. When I talk about these things, since it's not happening right now, and it doesn't seem to be imminent, you say, well, that's all well and good. You know, he's up there talking about this, and I'm down here, and he doesn't know what I'm going through. And that's the God's honest truth, by the way. I don't know what you're going through, but I do know I'm telling you the truth, and that's what will set you free. So if you're feeling that I'm saying something that you can't abide in, I'm telling you the truth, and you got to accept the truth, because if you don't accept the truth, once you start not accepting the truth, you can go into any direction that you want to go into. Any lie, any disavowing of the truth will set you on a road where it starts building blocks that's going to tumble. There's no way. You can't build a house on sand. The storm comes, it blows it away. It's a simple thing. So the next thing we find out, who do you believe? Who do you believe? There's that giant in the background. Scary, isn't he? Giants are always scary. Well, the first scripture, John 8, dealing with this. Jesus is talking to the Pharisees, and they're telling him how good they are and they belong to God. And wait a minute, boys. Here, listen to this. You belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. Now, Tim, could you put up the next scripture here? Satan's lies. Here's just some of the common lies. You've heard them all. Some of the lies, there's no God. Well, we know that throughout our whole world right now. They think they're God, or they're going to be God, but not the great God, the Father. Second one is, God doesn't care about you. I would imagine in your doldrums, in your deep down depression times, and we all have them, God doesn't care about me. Where's God in all of this? Well, that's another lie. He's always there. And then the Bible, here's another, the best lie of them all. The Bible, forget that. It's written by men, can't be trusted. Has anyone ever heard that? Yes. Well, I have to put my hand up. I've heard it dozens and dozens of times. That's why I don't read the Bible. It's written by men. Yes, men inspired by the Holy Spirit. See, they leave that little part out. The same thing as the 10 spies said. We look like grasshoppers before them, which was true. And they thought the same thing, which was not true. See, there's always a little bit of lie with a lot of truth. That's what makes all these cults so available to people that don't know the difference between lies and truth. They can accept that. We have so many of these things around. There's a new one coming up every day. Some of the more familiar ones are the people that knock on your door with the Jehovah's Witnesses, the Mormons. And you know what? They do have a zeal. I appreciate the zeal they have, but I don't appreciate the lie they bring. And that's what they bring. And they believe it. That's why they do it. Well, obviously, these 10 spies got themselves in such a frenzy that they saw the giants. And by the way, the giants they're talking about, if you're looking at Scripture, at Goliath, Goliath was a little over 9 feet tall. That's a pretty big dude. But you know what? It didn't seem to bother David a whole heck of a lot. Who is this Philistine that speaks badly against our mighty God? That's all he saw, but that's what the two of the other spies, Joshua and Caleb, saw. We can go in there and beat these guys. Who do you think they are? We've been having a promise of God. What do they got? They've got nothing. But we have to come to the conclusion that God's greater and bigger than any of these. Tim, could you put that picture up of God and giants and people? Now there's the Father on the throne. There's his angels who are giants, it says in Scripture. If you look at Revelations, we're talking about some that can span the sea with their legs. And of course, here we are, the little guys down here. See, we're more afraid of what's over to the left there than we are to the mighty King of Kings. Because those giants are so real in our lives. And the Father seems to be, I grew up in religion. And God to me was someone that was over there, up there, but never in here. He wasn't in here, because if that was the truth, then I'd be in trouble. So anytime I wanted to sin, which was often and frequently, I just threw God out the window, never realizing that I personally was the temple of the Holy Spirit. So as a result of that, I find out that the giants were bigger than God. And therefore, I start believing that those giants could scare me into doing whatever I need to do. Well, that was Satan's lie. Now let's go to what God's promises are. God's promises are, Mark 1:15, the time has come, said Jesus. The kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe the good news. Well, it's nearer than you think. If you're looking at the world today, how many times you've said, how long can this go on? Good question. I would imagine the saints during Noah's time thought the same thing. I would imagine that Abraham, looking at Sodom and Gomorrah, thought the same thing. But God did have a day of judgment. And I have to be honest with you, the times of Noah and Sodom and Gomorrah, it's baby stuff compared to what we're doing today. Who would ever imagine what we see and what is proffered, what is backed up by the government of what we see? How can that be? Don't you have any common sense? Well, it's the old saying, common sense isn't very common. And as a result of that, the answer is no, they don't have any common sense at all. If you depart from God, there is no depth to which you can't go to, because a lie doesn't have any ending to it. One lie always needs another lie to perpetuate itself. And that's what the world is today. But God is saying differently. It says in John 8:32, then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. We need to be set free. And by the way, what is the truth? Here's the truth. John 8:32, Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus doesn't tell the truth. That's not the story. He is the truth. Everything that he is speaks truth. He is the origin of truth. It's like the air we breathe. He is the truth we know. So we're not looking at Jesus to tell the truth. He always tells the truth. He can't do anything else but that. But he is actually the truth. These are the promises God has given us to defeat the giants that Satan is trying to place in our mind. Now, the case B, down to the bottom part. Are there things in your life? Are there giants in your life? Well, I know for years there were giants in my life, and I bowed down to them. And I did what I thought I needed to do in order to appease him. Now we're not talking about Goliath any longer, are we? We're talking about the spiritual giants that invade your thought process, that get into your heart and your mind. And all of a sudden, they're bigger than the promise and the problem you might have. And when that starts happening, all of a sudden, they, instead of God, have the control of who you are and who I am. We cannot have giants and have God at the same time. I'm telling you right now, God did away with the giants. In fact, more than that, they were fearful of God's word. When we're talking about the two spies that come back, and we're talking about when they went to Rahab and they were under the in Jericho, ready to take that. That was the very beginning of them coming into the promised land. So the connection between the spies in the land and Jericho probably was only a short distance apart. And yet, Rahab said the truth. We're all terrified of you. I don't know who your God is, but I want to be in on that. Help me out. And they did. And you, of course, you realize Rahab was part of the ancestry of Jesus. Incredible, huh? Incredible what one person can say and do and be remembered for. So, are there giants in the land? Tim? Exodus 14:14. You got a giant here? It says, the Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still. This was said on the shores of the Red Sea. When the people, again, being saved from Egypt, being having the ability to overcome Pharaoh, and they're out into the wilderness, and they're on the sea, and Pharaoh's army is coming down. Here comes the giant. Who are we going to believe? They start believing the giant. Until Moses says to them, be still. The Lord will fight for you. That's all right. The Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still. They had no choice. When you don't have a choice, your direction and where you're going to go is very limited. Like theirs. Where were they going to go? There's the Red Sea there, Pharaoh's army here. We can't defeat Pharaoh's army. What did all the people think? We're lost, we're lost. Run away, run away. No place to run until Moses speaks the truth. Be still. Let me show you what God can do. Next scripture, Tim. Isaiah 40:29, he says, he gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. I don't know if you're weary or weak. I do that a lot of times during the course of the day. And I need to be reinvigorated with God's love and God's truth. And of course, there's only one place I can get that from. It's right here. Even some of the things I memorize, I got to say them to myself because I know there's a giant coming. And with that giant, I'll be just as bad as those people that were in the promised land. They're too big for us. We can't fight them. If there's a giant in your life, you can fight it because God's greater. And if you're God's child, well, what chance does a giant have? Even in those days, he eliminated all the giants, the actual physical giants from the face of the earth. But nevertheless, Satan brought a whole new crop of giants into the land. Next scripture. Isaiah 41:10, so do not fear, for I am with you. You do not have to be dismayed, for I am your God, and I will strengthen you and help you, and I will uphold you with my righteous hand. So, let's see. Do not fear, for I am with you. Do you believe God is with you? Well, then don't be dismayed, for I am your God, and I will strengthen you and help you. See, he's the giant slayer. He's the one that slays the giants, not you. You wouldn't have a chance standing against Goliath without God. David wouldn't have a chance. I don't know if you can imagine someone 9 feet high with a spear that weighed like 150 pounds. It's hard to even imagine. But there were a body of people like that, the Anak, Goliath from Gath, and his brothers. They were all that size. David killed one. David's brother killed another. Now, how can these 5 foot five guys with a stone kill a man 9 feet tall with a 150-pound spear? Only through God. Only through the power of God. See, there are giants in the land today. We all have to face them. We all deal with them. In the process of doing that, we have to make choices. And the last scripture, Tim? Or is that the last scripture? Back to the idea of who we are, who God is, and what we believe. Just like those spies that went into the land, they can come back with a terrible story. They can come back with all kinds of fear. Do you listen to the news ever? Come on. It's terrible. It's gloom, doom, destruction. Do you realize that right now Manhattan is underwater, according to one of those Democratic candidates? I couldn't believe he said something like that. That the heat wave in Europe was going to destroy half the world with a fire. I mean, they can't say those things unless they kind of believe it. There's no problem like that. The problem is they don't believe God. They don't believe God created the universe, that God created our country, that God created you and me. And yet we go about our business listening to news, and what does the news do? It can scare you out of your wits if you believe it. Don't believe it. Don't ever believe it. Here's what you believe, God. Well, today we're having a baptism. And as there's two men that came out of that 40-day wilderness professing that we can do this, we can win the battle, we stand for God, we have one man today going to be baptized, and he's going to stand for God and profess that Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior. I don't care about the giants that are out there. He can defend me, and he can protect me. God bless you all.